Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode here of Stranger Than Fiction with your host, author Donald Allen Kirch, who is the author of books called The Manchester House and Reich. And tonight's episode is entitled The Sally House, and I will let Donald explain all about this wonderful mystery in tonight's show. But first, I need to tell you about some upcoming books that are out that you guys might be very interested in hearing about. Kara Voorhees' latest book, Men at Night, is now available through Amazon, with one reviewer saying, "Creepy, this is one of those intense must-read books. Voorhees has mastered the art of producing a spooky story." Also, New York Times bestselling author Jan Burke, and of course a host on the show Crime and Science Radio here on Suspense Radio, returns with Caught Red-Handed, an e-short story collection featuring a brand new Irene Kelly short story. Because before Frank Harriman and Irene Kelly got married, Frank was a rookie cop in Bakersfield, California, where he investigates one of the worst types of calls a policeman can get, a bad smell coming from a closed trailer on a hot day. Frank and his training officer are not surprised to find a dead body, but everyone is stunned when the corpse leads to the police chief's downfall. Download Caught Red-Handed today for just $1.99. And also, author Adam Mitzner is back with A Case of Redemption. Suspense Magazine named Adam one of the best authors of 2012, so pick up your copy, A Case of Redemption, today. Author L.J. Sellers returns with her latest Agent Dallas thriller entitled Trigger. You can buy Trigger wherever ebooks are sold. And author Rick Reed has returned with Final Justice. Rick is also the author of The Coldest Fear and The Cruelest Cut, and this is the latest Final Justice in his Jack Murphy series. Killing is a team sport, and to play the game, Jack Murphy has to identify all the players. So pick up Final Justice on Amazon today. And now I want you to listen to something really quick for us, because we're always a very, very strong proponent of Thriller Fest, and that is coming up soon. And for those of you who might not know what Thriller Fest is, take a listen to this.
It's time for a face-off where mystery meets suspense. Join us at the 9th Annual Thriller Fest. Learn from top industry leaders and authors at Craft Fest. Get your story heard by industry professionals at Pitch Fest. Celebrate the new 2014 Thriller Master, Scott Turow, and a list of special guests you'll have to see to believe. July 8th through the 12th at the Grand Hyatt in New York City, the premier conference for thriller enthusiasts, those who read them and those who write them. Find out more at www.thrillerfest.com.
So now, everybody, that we have everything out of the way, please make sure that you visit our sponsors that we talked about. That's what keeps the shows going here on Suspense Radio for you to listen to. So without any further ado, I want to introduce you again to your host, Donald Allen Kirch. You can go to DonaldAllenKirch.com to find out more information about the stuff that he works on. And you can read Stranger Than Fiction only in Suspense Magazine. And you can go to SuspenseMagazine.com, simply email editor Suspense Magazine, get four free issues, and see what everybody's talking about. So here we go, everybody. The Sally House, Stranger Than Fiction, right now.
Thank you.
forget the world that you know. You are about to enter a dimension of the bizarre, where ordinary story leaps off the page and becomes a new experience in terror, excitement, and entertainment. Hello, I am author Donald Allen Kirch, and I am welcoming you to Stranger Than Fiction. Haunted houses. No matter where you go in the world, everyone has one. From Athens to Zimbabwe, there isn't a city, town, or hamlet that doesn't have some old mansion that just begs to be left alone. As children, they scare us. As teenagers, they intrigue. And as skeptical adults, they entertain and make us chuckle at the madness of the idea of the whole affair. Hello, I am author and paranormal investigator Donald Allen Kirch, and this is Stranger Than Fiction. This episode will be a little different. This one's more personal. As I have stated in the past episodes, I am a paranormal investigator. Not too fancy. I don't have several books on the subject, nor do I star in my own television series. Not yet. I thought that I would share with you a personal episode from my own case files. One that, when I had closed, changed my life forever. Join me now on a trip to a tiny city in the state of Kansas called Atchison. There, we will stop off at a humble house haunted by a little girl named Sally. This whole adventure started out as a simple idea for a book. Since the publication of my horror novel, Manchester House, back in November of 2009, I have received a lot of compliments, some conservative praising, and one or two WTFs. As a writer, I appreciate them all, even the negatives. In all things, we learn by doing. However, this book was an important exception to me. As I have stated earlier, it was inspired by a true event. In short, I was attacked by a ghost. Back in 2004, I knew a group of individuals who wished to get together and form a production company. Their goal was to create low-budget documentaries, which they hoped to feature on an online website. They all seemed passionate and willing enough to do the incredible task ahead. So I joined them as a creative consultant. It was a slow summer, and frankly, I had nothing better to do. While at one meeting blowing spit bubbles of boredom, someone suggested that we do a documentary on haunted houses.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Suddenly, my ears perked up and my spit bubbles ran dry. As a child, I loved to watch the TV series In Search Of. Some of their best episodes were on the subject of ghosts, haunted houses, and curses. I have a giant sweet tooth for this stuff, and knew the suggestion was gold. Also, I remember one of the researchers from that television series. His name was Hans Holzer. Hans Holzer had more degrees than a thermometer. He specialized in paranormal studies and was quite intelligent and timid-looking. I watched this guy on TV carrying an old-fashioned cassette recorder and a cheesy microphone, claiming to be catching or chasing ghosts. And as a child, I bought it. I mean, I ate it up like candy. He struck an everlasting and positive chord in my early memory. In fact, I named one of my main characters in Manchester House after him in his honor. In any case, to continue. Having explained to the entire crew that I knew something of the paranormal, I suggested we scope out Atchison, Kansas, not too far from Kansas City, Missouri, where we all live. Atchison, Kansas was once an important hub in the American Industrial Empire. It was the starting place of the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe Railroad Companies. It is also the hometown of Amelia Earhart, the famous female aviator. Also, this small hamlet of a Kansas town held yet another important honor. It is considered the most haunted town in Kansas. We agreed. Atchison would be the setting place for our own documentary. Several members of the crew started to investigate, contact, and scout out the town. While doing this, we came across some incredible luck. The owner of the Sally House was going to allow us the opportunity to stay 2 weekends alone within the residence. And he was going to do it for free. Now, to give you some background information, the Sally House is a two-story, post-Civil War home built in the 1890s and had been featured on the Fox TV series Sightings and the Learning Channel's documentary Haunted Town. The story behind the house is not a happy one. In the late 19th century, the home was owned by a medical practitioner who had also once been the mayor of Atchison. As was the practice of the time, he had live-in servants. One was an attractive black woman whose name has been lost to time. In short, she and the doctor had an affair, and from that affair, Sally was born. There are some rumors in Atchison folklore that stated that the doctor and Sally's mother used to fight all the time in private, talking about the welfare of the child, how the responsibility of the father would be to a, for lack of a better word, half-breed baby. Sometimes the arguments did not end well. Sally lived in the house, and she, her origins, and her mother's affair were closely guarded secrets. It would not have served the doctor any for those amongst him or his peers to learn that he had fathered a black child. Again, this was not an enlightened time, and color was an important gauge upon the social ladder. Within the course of time, children grow up, and as often, children have problems. In any case, Sally ended up with having trouble with her appendix. As the story goes, the doctor, Sally's father, had a drinking problem. And Upon the night in question, the man had been deep within his cups. Solidly drunk, the man inadvertently allowed his daughter to die upon the operating table and was never held responsible for the act. In the eyes of the time, it was just the death of another servant's child. Sally, according to legend, was buried in a nameless grave or within the confines of the doctor's basement. Either fact is impossible to prove. As with Sally's mother, her final fate has been lost within the passage of time. Sally simply disappeared. As for trying to prove where Sally was officially buried, that would be quite impossible. Note, several psychics have claimed that Sally has a grave and that the site has been examined, but to no apparent conclusion. Upon her death, Sally declared war on all male occupants of her house. In August of 2004, we ventured into this house, never fully seeing the danger we were putting ourselves into. Now, before this episode, I had always been a believer in the afterlife. However, time taking her course upon an open mind and an adult heart, I became a skeptic. I still believed, mind you, but I also believed in the human ability to create a fraud. One of my favorite quotes, if it's on a t-shirt and makes money, then it will never go away. Two prime examples, Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster. Next to Elvis, the biggest tourist traps in the world. So, as a skeptic, I was chosen to be the member of the crew who would take the notes. The owner of the Sally House informed us that he was preparing the home for a new client. The house at that time was a rental property and was in between residents, so we would not have to be held back by manners or film restrictions. In short, we had full reign. This was a great delight to me because of almost every documentary that I have ever seen of the Sally House, most of the crew have been, you know, forbidden to go in this room because it's Uncle Jed's room and he doesn't want to be disturbed. Or for some reason, like in one aforementioned haunted town, the lady that was renting the property wouldn't let people down in the basement. And we'll get to that later, why she wouldn't. But upon our entrance, things did turn quite weird. A cameraman and a non-believer instantly started to become sick. Vomiting several times, he left. The man never again set foot in the house. Another thing, instantly our digital camera started to have problems. A photographer's flash would not work, and batteries drained like there was no tomorrow. All our hard work was starting to fail, and at each and every minute we were starting to believe that this was becoming a solid waste of time. Luckily, our two backup cameras still did work. Now, heading down into the home's basement, we decided to do some filming there. Nothing much, just something for background later for documentary or narrative scenes. The basement of the Sally House is quite ordinary. It consisted of a long wooden staircase, furnace, and riverbed rock walls. It was actually a charming, old-fashioned basement that you would expect to find at your grandfather's house. It was a really good, solid, hammer film, creepy basement. But there was also something else down there that we did not expect to find. There was a black pentagram painted on the floor of the basement. Someone, we do not know who, had drawn a black pentagram upon the floor directly in front of the furnace. This, I have to say, did freak me out a little. One of the cameramen decided to try our new night vision camera filter and suggested that we do some filming in the dark. We turned off all the lights. The camera worked beautifully, and the cameraman started his filming. A scream was heard. Flipping the basement lights back on, we discovered that one of our team was attacked by a brick. In point of fact, there are no bricks in the basement of the Sally House, other than those in the chimney. As mentioned, the walls are constructed from riverbed rock. At first, we all had taken the attack as some kind of April Fool's joke. So, the lights went out again, and the bricks continued to fly. In all, six. Each victim hit was a male within our group. I had been personally grazed by a brick that hit me in the right kidney area. There was an ongoing joke that I was the brick target, and for some reason, the house did not like me, nor did it want me there. My curiosity and eagerness to learn from this house kept me from running out the door. If anything else, it was my Irish stubbornness that made me face Sally and not give up on taking notes and trying to find out the truth. Then came my own personal ghost attack. As we continued our investigation, I was taking notes in the hallway on the second floor between the bathroom and the nursery. I had come to the conclusion while in the basement that there was something genuine about this haunting and was writing that in my notes. I had also made a personal observation that the man controlling our EMF reader wasn't really doing a good job. In point of fact, I thought he was faking most of the reactions that we were getting. I remember writing, "This guy with the EMF device, is he faking?" in my notebook. When upon heading down the main staircase, I felt something. As I remember, I felt a pair of small hands, like those of a child, taking hold of my ankles, and a rather adult pair of hands, female, grabbing me at the shoulders. The adult hands felt like those belonging to a middle-aged woman. My pen stopped writing in mid-sentence. My eyes, I'm sure, opened quite wide, and my world changed. All at once, the child's hands pulled my feet off the steps, and the adult hands upon my shoulders pushed. If it had not been for my instant reaction to place both my hands against the staircase and the wall, and my left upon the railing, I'm sure that I would have fallen down the stairs, breaking my neck. The staircase was indeed long and deep enough to cause serious injury. I am not one for delusional fantasies. I create too many on my own and need little help. This happened. I was attacked, and until the day I pass, I will state this for the record. My experience within the Sally House wasn't the first. There had been a couple who had lived there before and who came to know the full wrath of the ghost of little Sally. They were Tony and Deborah Pickman. In the story, recently married, Tony and Deborah went looking for a good home to start a family with. Deborah was expecting their first child, and things were looking up for the two of them. Fate one day brought them to 508 North 2nd Street. They moved in on December 31st, 1992. Unlike other hauntings, like the Amityville Horror, there had been no stories, murders, or clues whatsoever of trouble from this house. Both rented the property without knowing that it would change their lives forever. life proceeded as normally as it could. Each were busy trying to make ends meet, live their lives, and prepare for the happy day when their baby would be born. No signs of paranormal activity at all. Tony and Deborah both came from a Catholic background, and neither felt at odds with the house. It was, to them, a happy house. The event started innocently enough. TV sets turned on and off for no apparent reason. Electric clocks and timers would go amok. Appliances in the kitchen would come to life. And if that were not enough, candles arranged throughout the house would suddenly light. Like all couples, Deborah and Tony took pictures. Displaying them proudly on the walls of their home, both would sometimes find these same pictures turn upside down or worse days after the pictures had been developed. Strange images would make themselves known. Haunting shapes, a black blob so weird, no one could even begin to identify him. One picture frightened me upon seeing it. It was a picture taken at the top of the long staircase I had had my encounter upon. In this picture, a dark shadow could be seen almost at the very spot where I had been attacked. At first, upon realizing that their home was haunted, neither Tony nor Deborah knew what to do. Eventually, they took their plight to the producers of Sightings, a television series of the paranormal, which had been seen on Fox and later on the Sci-Fi Channel. Identities were kept secret, and the whole event was called the Heartland Haunting. Sally's hatred for men showed a dark and ugly side when dealing with Tony Pickman. The man had been attacked by her upon several occasions, scratching him across the back, front torso, arms, and face. Once, while on an episode of Sightings, he had been scratched several times, and witnesses confessed to it in a live chat forum. It all happened right before their eyes. Sally meant business. She wanted them to leave. The Pickmans couldn't take any more and soon moved out. Both had recorded their experiences and, like the Lutzes, have written books on the subject, hoping to help those who face similar circumstances. Occasionally, when she can, Deborah Pickman still visits her old home, trying to discover a means to help Sally gain some spiritual rest, or at the very least, seek answers from her. Sally, however, isn't talking. There was something within the confines of that small Kansas house that does not like or want people there. If it is a child ghost known as Sally, she got her wish. Upon being attacked and having felt a level of personal horror I have never felt before, I left. I had people in our group tell me later that it appeared as if I had been lifted from the stairs and thrown from my footing. I thank God that I had the presence of mind, or instinct at least, to take some kind of action. There are more things in both heaven and earth that are beyond our dreams or thoughts. If you ever find yourself in the town of Atchison, Kansas, why not take a drive down 2nd Street and find out for yourself? Sally is waiting. She has all the time in the world. I apologize if some of this episode seems to be done with a slight bit of tongue-in-cheek, but simply put, sharing this event has not been easy for me. I still find myself questioning what had happened. It hasn't curbed my curiosity about the paranormal, but it has made me more of a believer. If you are interested in reading the magazine version, of Stranger Than Fiction. Please go to suspensemagazine.com and subscribe. If you would like to see some of my work, please go to my website at donaldallenkirch.com. That's Donald Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Kirch, K-I-R-C-H.com. One word, donaldallenkirch.com. My books are available in both ebook and print format. And it would be quite an honor if I could entertain you. So, tune in again for another episode of The Bizarre and the Paranormal. This is Donald Allen Kirch for Strangers in Fiction, signing off and wishing each and every one of you unpleasant dreams.